Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You done get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right, we are we're live here. We're here with Patrick Lyons. How you doing, Patrick? Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, great, man. Looking forward to the start of the baseball season. The real start, right? Opening day where all 30 teams are playing. It'll be fun.
Yeah, the real start. And, I mean, let's get right into it. Are you excited? Are you excited for baseball? Or are you excited for Colorado Rockies baseball? Because, I mean, off-season moves, I don't really know what's going on out there in Denver. I'm sure it's tough to be a Rockies fan at this point in time. But how are you feeling going into the season for you guys?
Well, I'm excited for baseball in general. I used to kind of think in my head, you know, when I was a kid or a high schooler, like, shoot, you could just drop me in the middle of like Kansas City or Seattle or Atlanta. Yeah. And, you know, three places that I've hadn't gone to yet at that point in my life. And I know nothing about those franchises really. And I would love it. I would love consuming all that content and learning about the history, learning those players and being a guy that either rooted for those teams or covered those teams as a journalist. And so even a bad team, even a 103 loss team like the Rockies were last year, believe it or not, it was kind of exciting in the second half of the year, partially because you did have those young guys and Nolan Jones and Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle, you know, making big plays and really starting to come into their own. So there definitely was a lot of positivity for that. As far as, yeah, the offseason moves, really not a ton. I mean, they signed two major league free agents in Jacob Stallings and Dakota Hudson. They acquired Kyle Quantrill in a trade, which was a real shrewd move. That was a great pickup from Cleveland. They didn't have to give up very much. And yeah, they're kind of waiting for the next group of young guys to come up through the minors to help this current young group of guys. So it's kind of a waiting game, but there's some fun in covering a team like that, because will they or won't they? Who's going to be the guy that steps up? Who's going to be a franchise cornerstone player? That's kind of what you get to learn in a season like this.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm in the same boat when it comes to just being a baseball fan. It's like, I used to have a little bit of allegiance, but now as I've grown older, it's I like watching the game. I'm excited for baseball to be on every day for, you know, months. So I think as a real baseball fan, we're all just excited no matter what team. It's like, if I had to watch the Rockies play every day, it's like, I'm still going to sign up for that every time, you know, 100% of the time. But Yeah, this is one where it's like, I think everyone is aware of, you know, kind of the organization at this point. And like you said, it's, you know, just will they or won't they? Who's going to be the next guy? Who are going to be the next group of players that hopefully lead them into the playoffs? Obviously, when you got teams like the Dodgers and the Padres, you know, the NL West is a competitive division. So to kind of be where you guys are now, it's kind of just a waiting game and a hoping game. But who are some of the guys? I don't know how familiar you are with, you know, the Rockies farm system. I'm not familiar at all, but who are some of the guys you got in the pipeline coming up? Who are you excited about? What are you excited about moving into the near future?
Yeah, well, on the big league roster, like I said, those three names, Nolan Jones, mm-hmm. Tovar, and Brenton Doyle, after their rookie seasons, now it's about the sophomore slump, sustaining some things a little bit, finding out, you know, will those be the players that, you know, help lead the franchise to their next postseason experience? They haven't been there in going on 6 years, right? 2018 was that last time. But they do have a bulk of prospects in their farm system. Now, you know, depending on which prospect pundits you look at, you know, they could be in the low 20s, maybe high teens. And I think a lot of that has to do with their being kind of an absence of a true superstar. Adiel Amador is their top prospect, a shortstop that will probably move over to second base, almost definitely will, after Tovar's recent extension over the weekend, a 7-year, mm-hmm. $63.5 million guaranteed deal. So Amador is kind of that guy where he makes a lot of good contact, you know, probably more gap-to-gap hitter guy. Maybe he'll be able to run into 20-25 home runs. He's like their top guy. But after that, there's really 5, 6, 7 players that you could look at and say, hey, these could be real contributing players. Maybe they make an all-star team, you know, here or there once or twice, kind of similar to what the Rockies had in David Dahl a few years ago before, you know, that unfortunately didn't pan out. But Jordan Beck is that next guy that I think Rockies fans and baseball fans are going to be really excited to see, really kind of burst onto the scene. And when he was drafted in 2022, you might have seen a bunch of clips of a guy from the University of Tennessee, a team that just had so much swagger, running around mm-hmm. the bases, giving the outfield, you know, middle finger, bottom line, right? As my buddy Thomas Harding from MLB.com, the avian digit. That's what he gave.
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah. I texted Thomas right away. I said, hey, that's funny stuff right there. But yeah, but Beck is going to be that next guy. He played really well in spring training, actually won the spring training, you know, minor league MVP award, the Abby Greer award that the Rockies give out. So Jordan Beck's that big one. Chase Dolander, we haven't seen yet. He just got
drafted. Right.
Shut him down. But Dolander is the big pitching prospect. More hitters than pitchers, which could possibly be a problem going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the Rockies, though, it's like invest in some offense and hopefully that pans out. And it's, you know, especially, I mean, the trope of playing up in Coors Field, it's like it's good to see some power guys coming through or whatever. But, you know, Jordan Beck's one of those guys from Tennessee that was exciting and gives me similar vibes to maybe on an offensive perspective, more than defensive, but a Chris Bryant type who's clearly on the Rockies. But when it comes to the Division I level, and the bat moving through the ranks there. But when it comes to someone like Chris Bryant, obviously like this franchise guy who kind of hasn't lived up to the expectation, you know, not to, you know, pick on him too hard there, but I'm sure you guys have had to, you know, deal with that, but, he's kind of primed for a little bit of a bounce back here. And hopefully we can see some, I mean, he's still in the prime of his career here. So that's an electric franchise player. So hopefully we can see him do what he's capable of doing in Coors Field. But how you feeling about Bryant coming back? What's the word on the Rockies side here?
Yeah, by all accounts, he does seem to be healthy going into this year. I think that was the case in 2023. Unfortunately, didn't come to fruition. You know, I think if he were to play every single game, the first month of the season, month plus, he would not play his 162nd game with the Rockies until early May. So that gives you an idea of how bad the injuries have been for him. And I think if Bryant is just somewhat of a shell of himself, right, a healthy shell of himself, mm-hmm. that his presence alone is probably worth an extra 5 or 6 wins, just having him in the lineup versus one of those AAA options, one of those young players who might become something in the future, but really aren't there just yet. So his presence, I think, is huge. And you kind of saw that actually in the final month of the season when he came back. And he was hitting behind Nolan Jones. And Jones, I believe it was from September 15th until the final day of the regular season, according to Fangraphs, was the best player in all of baseball. And I think Chris Bryant's presence, you know, had a lot to do with that. So him being there, you know, playing first base on days where you want to get a certain bat out there in right field, whether it's Sean Bouchard, Hunter Goodman, Michael Tolia, and then, you know, Bryant being able to go back to the outfield and stay healthy in right field also frees up some playing time for Elhiris Montero, one of the players that came over in the Nolan Arenado deal. And Montero is this guy where if he gets regular playing time, or if he got regular playing time on another team, perhaps he's a 30 home run guy. And so it's just a matter of getting him that playing time. And Bryant's, you know, positional flexibility could help out with that just a little bit. It all depends on him being healthy and being able to go out there and post.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things too, where like, I mean, just to kind of talk baseball here in general, like there's only so much we can talk about with the Rockies and like expectations and everything, you know, people like to get into the analytics and it's like, I hope they are good. You know what I mean? I don't want to see a team be bad, but it's one of those things with Chris Bryant too, where it's like, he's a star player, you know, he's been around for a while now. He's like 32, but it kind of reminds me of seeing this just like online discourse of people talking shit. And like, clearly the talking point right now is Shohei Ohtani and people kind of like talking about his debt. Like, what if it's all true? What if he is, you know, like he should be, like people kind of hoping for the downfall. And it's like, I don't want to watch a guy who's really good at baseball not play baseball. Like Chris Bryant's one of this is completely different, like world tier of not playing. But it's like, no, I want to see these these great MVP level players play the game that they're the best at. And so it's like when it comes to Bryant, just like I think in my generation, one of the guys who it's like, fuck, I really hope I'm like hoping for him. I'm like, I don't want to see you be that injured. I know he doesn't, people think he's doing it on purpose or something. So that's probably frustrating, but I don't know, man. It's one of those, I not that you have an answer for this, but it's always been a question for me. Obviously pitching in the Mile High City going to be an issue, but it's one of those things where I'm like, it seems like an enticing place to play. Like Denver, I don't know if you live in Denver. Denver is an unbelievable city, beautiful city, lots of sun there in the winter as well. But as an offensive hitter, it's like, seems like a place to play. And historically, it seems like Bryant was like the first big name to kind of sign a huge free agent deal there. Obviously, it hasn't worked out yet. But like, what's the Rockies' take on this? Like, as a fan, are you guys like ever like, why does nobody want to come here? Is it just because they're not offering the right amount of money? Is it like you'd think they would, but
yeah, it's kind of complex. But I think some fans, and I think nationally, people are starting to understand the impact of the Coors Field effect, where you mm-hmm. play at altitude and you see a curveball and you know it moves a certain amount and you're able to handle it, and then when you go out on the road, that curveball moves a lot differently and it's harder to catch
sure.
up. And then
sure.
you're going back to altitude and that beats up on your body. So that can be really difficult and challenging. You know, you look at it from the hitter's perspective. You know, Larry Walker was a Hall of Famer. It took him 10 years to finally get in, but so much of the discourse amongst fans and voters in the BBWAA was, well, Coors really just helped his numbers out. And that's the reason why he was as good as he was. And eventually starting to see what he still was able to do out on the road, you know, looking right. at his slash lines, things of that nature. And then understanding that, sure, there might be a benefit to hitting at Coors, but then there's a disadvantage when you go out on the road and a disadvantage at playing at altitude. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think Nolan Arenado was very disgruntled, because if the Rockies weren't going to be putting a contender out there each and every year, then that could potentially, you know, impact his candidacy for the Hall of Fame. You got to remember, sure. before he was traded, Larry Walker hadn't been voted into the Hall of Fame, or rather at the time in which Nolan was very disgruntled, he did not see a path into the Hall of Fame because everyone was just going to say, yeah, but Coors. Oh, look at all those Gold Glove awards. And he had, you know, 400 home runs, whatever it was. Yeah, but Coors. And so I think for him, that really got to him. I mean, Todd Helton took him a couple years and people saying, well, he hits better at home than on the road. Most players do. Let's look at his road numbers. Still hit .287.
Still great. On the road.
Yeah, he still stacks up against those guys. So for the hitters, that can be kind of the discount, right? I mean, look at JD Martinez recently just saying like, hey, you know, I could have made some good money with the San Francisco Giants. But that ballpark, you know, doesn't really favor my swing so much.
And I'd
like to play again after that, right? And teams are going to hold that against me. So I'd rather go to a ballpark where it's going to maybe play a little bit more true. And then on the pitcher side, obviously, you're just going to get eaten up, you know, playing at 5,280 feet above sea level. But the biggest issue with playing at Coors Field is the outfield is the largest in all of baseball, right? I've actually seen somewhere where it mathematically proves that Kansas City has the largest outfield, but most people recognize that Coors Field has the biggest outfield. And you understand you want to put those fences really far out and you're going to be killed by singles. That's the other piece. All those balls that drop in front of your center fielder, because you don't want him playing so shallow that the ball goes over his head. Now you're giving up doubles and triples, which so many triples will happen at Coors Field. Mm-hmm. There's more cycles at Coors Field than any ballpark. Even Fenway Park, that's been around, you know, three times as long. More triples and more cycles at Coors Field. So for pitchers, that's going to beat you up. And unless you're at the end of your career, unless you're a 49-year-old Jamie Moyer and you just want to pitch, you want to have another contract. So sure, the Rockies may offer you $5, $6, $7 million more over the length of the contract, but then are you going to lose that much, if not more, you're on your next deal? So you have to be a little bit cautious. So it's one of the reasons why the Rockies do have some difficulty in signing free agents.
God, and that's got to be one of those things where it's like, I think you put that into, I think you said it very well. It's something as like, it shows how much I've thought about the Rockies, where I'm like, those are very obvious reasons. And I'm still like, oh yeah, I never even crossed my mind. But yeah, man, do you live in Denver? Are you from Denver?
No, I'm originally from New Jersey and been in Colorado for about 10 years, lived in Boulder for a while, and I'm a little bit further north in northern Colorado.
Gotcha. I've been through Denver. I've never been to a Rockies game, but I've always wanted to go. There's some fields that no matter the team, it's like I still wanna go. It seems like a summertime Coors Field game is like bucket list. That seems great. So I'm excited to get out there eventually. But before we get to the state your case here, I do want to mention this. I like doing this sometimes on this podcast, but I got some personal stories from my playing days. But one guy that I always keep up with from my junior college days, my sophomore year, I played up in Jacksonville, Florida at this little junior college called FSCJ, Florida State College at Jacksonville. And in our conference, we played against Daytona State College. So that year, I was a starting pitcher. We would play that because they're in our conference. We play them like eight times a year or something. So they came up to our field, and they had this guy, this pitcher who transferred from Jacksonville University. So there's a lot of in Florida, the junior college ranks are very good. Like there are a ton of talent in there. You know, guys who were playing in the World Series last year, guys who are playing in the big leagues every single year. A lot of drop downs from Division Ones, whether it's because they want to get drafted or if it's because they just didn't get the playing time they were hoping. So Daytona State had a pitcher because he dropped back from Jacksonville University, who was, I guess, his freshman year, he was throwing over the top, maybe like 89, 90 miles an hour and just not really getting the playing time. Then he went to Daytona State College. They dropped him down to sidearms, throwing upper 90s, and his name was Justin Lawrence. So we got to watch him up close and personal, and we were all on the bench like, what the fuck is this? Like watching that from the sidelines, watching a guy just sling it as if he wasn't trying at 96, 97 miles an hour. And we were like, what is going on? And then a few years later, he's up in the big leagues. And I was like, hey, I've seen that guy. But
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know, but I don't know, man. No, he's with the Rockies. But he's a guy where I'm like, I want to see him go win, but every time I see him, I'm like,
this is the only shining star for me on the Rockies right now. I had to look him up to make sure he wasn't injured, but I'm glad he's doing good up there. But that's a guy where like every time I see the Rockies play, I think about that moment watching him where I was like, I'm watching another major leaguer right in front of me. But yeah, man, if there's any more highlights, feel free to get them going here. But I mean, this is your chance, Patrick, for you to state your case for the 2024 Colorado Rockies, whatever that may be. So hit me with it.
Yeah, they're going to surprise defensively, or rather for Rockies fans, I think they know how good the defense is. So probably the most of the clips that you'll see of the Rockies this year, if you're watching from afar, will be on the defensive end of the spectrum. There'll be, you know, regular walk-off highlights. You know, there was, as I said, being from New Jersey, I actually had a little family reunion over the summer for my aunt's, I want to say 75th birthday. Now, maybe she was 80. Anyway, but they happened to all come out on the same weekend that the Yankees were in town. And sure enough, they go to a game and it ends up going to extras. It's the longest game of the season. And now granted, it's like 3.5 hours, but baseball fans immediately these games being like 2:45, right? So man, they're kind of baking in the sun, you know. They've been having a good time all weekend, enjoying the Coors Lights. So they were beat up. And then, you know, next thing you know, Alan Trejo hits a walk-off home run. And you kind of see like, oh, that's the end of the Yankees season. Like they just don't have it. If they can't put away this Rockies team, then there's going to be problems. So you'll see those highlights of like, man, can you believe the Rockies did this? They came back, obviously at Coors, they're going to hit. But I think it'll be on the defensive end of the spectrum. You know, Brent Doyle was a Gold Glove Award winner as a rookie last year. No National League rookie outfielders had ever won the Rookie of the Year Award. In the history of that award, right? Came out in 1957. So that was a first. Nolan Jones, 19 outfield assists. Dude has an absolute cannon, both him and Doyle, the Colorado Cannons. So that's a really exciting duo there in the outfield. Ryan McMahon is a perennial Gold Glove finalist. You know, he makes the barehanded play about as good as anyone not named Nolan Arenado. Ezekiel Tovar was a Gold Glove finalist at shortstop. Some of the metrics suggest that he actually might have been the best in the NL. Brendan Rodgers won a Gold Glove 2 years ago in 2022. Were it not for the shoulder injury, maybe he would have been able to go back-to-back. So, you know, they're going to be able to pick it. They're going to play good defense. Jacob Stallings is their backup catcher. He won a Gold Glove Award in 2021. So the defense is really where I think they're going to shine. I think the pitching should be a little bit better than last year. They got really caught off guard with, you know, Herman Marquez and Antonio Senzatella needing Tommy John surgery. You hope that doesn't happen again. The bullpen's got a lot of really good, young, exciting guys. It's sort of, you know, Justin Lawrence, you talk about him. He's like created this mold almost now for the Rockies. Like Adam Ottavino was that guy. And then, Justin Lawrence, he might be like that next Adam Ottavino type. And sure enough, he was a big darling last year, man. You saw that sweeper everywhere. Pitching Ninja is loving on some Justin Lawrence. That was great. Gavin Hollowell's one of those guys where you say, oh, he's kind of funky. Take a look at him. 6'7" guy, you know, kind of 3/4 release. So, there's some exciting guys in the bullpen, and you know it's still a transition year. They're still going to figure out a couple things. Who are going to be those dudes going forward? So, you know, a lot of losses for sure. Could be approaching 100 once again. But in between, kind of like we started off by saying, you know, even bad baseball is still baseball, right? It's still professional baseball. These guys are still incredibly talented. They're going to hit their home runs. They're going to make some highlight plays, and so, you know, it's still going to be exciting. There's still going to be those highlights, and it'll be fun. Frustrating, but it'll still be fun. Actually, I forgot that I trademarked something last year. It's fun-strating. That's what it is. Rockies baseball, fun-strating.
well said, man. I got to be honest with you. This is one of those podcast episodes that throughout the series, because we're in like the back half here, definitely. We got a few left before the season gets going here, but this was one where I was like, man, I hope the person I'm talking to is fun here, because like it's the Rock, you know what I mean? It's like, what do you want to talk about? Like, what do we? And I think you kept me interested, and I think you said it very well. You're staying positive, and like you said, like we both said, it's baseball. It's still fun to watch if you love baseball,
And I think you said it well. It's a point that I always try to drive home to people where they're like, this team sucks. And it's like, these are Major League Baseball players. Like, I don't think you understand. Like, these are still the worst of the best in the world at what they do. So it's, no matter what, exciting to watch, and it'll be fun. But Patrick, I forgot to say this at the beginning, but go ahead and plug. I'm sure you got a podcast, social media. Let the people know where they can find you before we close it out here.
Yeah, I'm writing for justbaseball.com and doing some things with Ryan Finkelstein. Who's Better Baseball as a podcast, also on the Park Adjusted Rockies podcast with former big leaguer Mark Knutson. So I got a couple irons in the fire it's fun talking about baseball, writing about baseball. Reese, you got to get your butt out to Denver, man, and see why like 3 million people are showing up to Coors Field each and every year, despite the product, you know, not being so great. It's a place to be. It's on your bucket list. It's on the bucket list of everyone that comes to Colorado. That's why Coors Field is kind of recession proof, you know.
Yeah, man, it's on the bucket list for lots of reasons, you know. Nature, I mean, I'm a comedian. The comedy is incredible out there. Multiple great clubs, even a good indie scene. I mean, I would love to catch a weekend series there, hang out in the sun. But I'll definitely hit you up. And then if you're in Seattle this year, man, I don't know, hit me up. We'll go catch a game. We'll hang out. But everybody go check out Patrick on his stuff on social media. He's a great broadcaster, clearly. So we'll get you back here about halfway through the season to kind of catch up and see where everyone's at. But Patrick, thanks for joining us, man. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks, Reese.
Absolutely. We'll catch you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.